coming to you live from the campus center here at DePaul University. It's Rob Has a Podcast at RehabCon. And now, here's the guy who still doesn't have anything good to say in the intro at RehabCon this morning. Rob Cesternino, yes! Look at you guys. You guys are great. What a great crowd we have here on hand at RehabCon. Such a forgiving crowd. And we just had a nice lunch here. Everybody have a good lunch? Nobody's tired and is going to fall asleep now? Okay, good. Because we will shame people that fall asleep in the audience here and shave their eyebrows off. First person falls asleep. Okay. So we're going to be talking Survivor here in this next panel. So we're going to hear from some Survivor players and, of course, get plenty of Q&A from you guys. So let's welcome a person, one of Chicago's sons here with us today. You know him as the young lad. You know him as the last reigning Mr. Survivor. Here he is, the great Spencer Bledsoe. Yes. Here he is, in the flesh. How you doing?
I'm good.
Do you have a bag of tricks? I heard from the crowd.
I do have a bag. It has very few tricks.
A bag with not too many tricks. Anyway, Spencer, so good to see you here at the RehabCon. Very excited that you could make it out. How have you been doing?
I've been doing well. Been doing really well. No, life's good. I've been just enjoying summer here. Took an awesome birthday trip to the mountain.
Yes.
It was really fun. And the Survivor off season is long, but I'm looking forward to some millennials versus Gen X.
Yes, that'll be fun because you are the preeminent, in my mind, Survivor millennial.
Yeah, I agree.
Yes. Okay. Also, we have here somebody from your original run in the first Survivor, Brains versus Beauty versus Brawn. Also here from Chicago, Alexis Maxwell. A reunion.
Hello.
Alexis,
sorry I'm late.
How are you?
Good. How's everyone else doing here?
Yes, Alexis Maxwell sighting. How about that? And then how about this? It's like the Royal Rumble. Also joining us here at the RehabCon from Chicago, you may know him as His Royal Highness. King Darnell Hamilton is here. The slow walk to the stage. King Darnell. I blew that handshake so badly.
It can never be as bad as when you gave me the Mr. Survivor belt. That was the worst handshake of all time.
What did I do?
I don't want to repeat it, but it was like a fist bump and like handshake trying to meet. And
no, we talk about this a lot on News AF of how I never know what I'm supposed to be doing. Hugs, handshake, I mean, it's terrible. Just wave. That's what I should do. Anyway, Darnell, how are you?
I'm great.
Yeah. We are very pumped up to have Darnell here. Very exciting. Are you pumped up for Dwayne Wade?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Finally get a championship here. Finally. It's been since 98. We're going to bring it here.
Okay. All right. So this is a very fun panel, Survivor panel here. And so I guess why don't we start with that Darnell, this won't be like the Survivor finale. We'll ask you questions. We won't have Sia come up here and take your airtime.
No Mark the Chicken.
No Mark the Chicken. No chicken stories. So as you were somebody who go through all of Survivor Call Wrong, did you have a horse in the race of the Aubrey versus Michelle debate?
Not. Well, I'm cool. Like, me and Aubrey, we're both, you know, I'm closer to Aubrey than Michelle. But honestly, I think that Aubrey should have been the winner.
Okay. How did you get close to Aubrey?
we've talked a lot. We've reached out a lot. I mean, I've talked to Michelle as well, but me and Aubrey is really, like, we really click. Mm-hmm. She's a really great person. Michelle is too, but Aubrey is just, you know, she's amazing.
Yeah. Now, Spencer, we didn't get to talk to you during this last past season. Did you have any take on the debate?
Yeah, I mean, like, I would have voted for Aubrey, I think. Mm-hmm. But it's tough because it's like I did get a sense from the jury that she didn't really show them what we saw. And so I definitely, not to be like a total purist, but I guess it's her job to show them what we saw. So the reasons we think she should have won, if that wasn't clear to the jury, then it's kind of on her. So I think Michelle is a good winner. I think, you know, lost in the debate is that she played a really solid game, and she, especially toward the end, I think earned it.
Did you feel similar to Aubrey? Like, could you relate to anything with her coming out of that season and feeling like, okay, I had done a lot and maybe people felt like I was misunderstood by the jury, and that is that how you felt coming out of Cambodia?
A bit. I think Aubrey probably like played better than me. I think the jury did see more reason to vote for her. Mm-hmm. Like it was closer.
Yeah.
But I did relate in that I think Aubrey not only went through like a transformation, but played a really good game. And I think the jury didn't see all of it. They saw kind of her waffling with decisions. But, you know, I think some of them probably saw, you know, Aubrey and Sydney really like ran the show. And other people might not have seen it that way. So,
yeah. Alexis, were you happy that a Survivor Beauty member went on to win the game? Did they redeem the Kagyan Beauty Tribe?
I was super torn about it too, but yes, I do think that that's pretty cool because it's really unlikely. It is in the Survivor world. But like he was saying, it's super conflicting because as a fan, I was super biased and loved Aubrey just because I could see behind the scenes, but the jury is the jury, and who wins based off of the jury. So it can be argued that the winner deserves it no matter what. So it's tough. It was a tough one. Yeah.
Darnell, when you guys were at the finale, did you guys all know that Michelle was the winner? Like, was it like pretty much like common knowledge?
No. I mean, everybody was very secretive about what happened. Mm-hmm. You could tell, like, people were nervous as they was watching it. Like, did I win? Did I win? I mean, you can kind of feel that it was between those two. But, I mean, when I was watching it, I was like, man, Aubrey won this thing. And then, then when you actually see, you like, wow. Like, we was all looking at each other in the back like, are you serious? Like, what's going to happen? Like, how are the fans going to react to this? And it's, you know, it's. I know a lot of people was, like, really going at Michelle, but she's really, you know, great. I see why she won. Like, everybody loves Michelle. Even if you talk to her, if you meet her, she's a great person, so I can understand why she won.
What were some of the things that you had wanted to say during the season that as they were happening? Was there anything that you felt like that that you really had some insight into that you weren't able to talk about during the season?
Oh, man. So much.
Like, what? Guess the things that you needed to get off your chest. This is the time, Darnell.
It was a lot of things that happened on Bron Beach.
Yes.
the Alicia situation, it really, you know, it developed day one.
Because you became friends with Alicia on the pre-jury trip, right?
Yeah. Me and Alicia, we were starting to connect as even when I was eliminated. You know, you can tell, like, Jason is really good at picking up stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You know, me and Scott Pollard really don't get along, but, you know, mm-hmm. a lot of people don't get along with Scott. But you can tell, like, Alicia, she's a very different person. It was a lot of things that people didn't see. Like, she was outcast day one. It was hard, especially when me and Sydney was looking at it like, this is tough to see her go through this stuff because she was out of place. But Alicia said she didn't make it easy on herself. Day one, she was like, I can't believe I'm on Bron. Like, I should be beauty. Like, said stuff mm-hmm. like that. But it was a lot of things like that. And it was just like, you know, it was just for me saying stuff like that, to see people treat it like that is hard for me. Like, yeah, we're playing a game, but to treat someone, call someone stupid every day, it brings down the morale. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, when they lost when I was gone, I was like, well, I mean, to be expected. I mean, I knew this was going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was tough.
And you were rooting against them after that point?
Like,
Yeah. But were part of you, were you happy that you got out of there and didn't get any infections like all these other people?
Mm, No, I wanted to be there. I don't
That's
care.
That's lining. I'm trying to be an optimist.
I wanted to be there. It didn't matter. Like, you know, when you sign up, you want to win. I wanted to win, so
yeah.
I would have put up with it.
But you were on you went on the trip with, it was you, Jennifer, Anna, and Alicia, right? Is that right?
And Obama.
Oh, Peter was there
Obama.
Too? I thought he had to go, and he had to go get, he had to go get treatment.
He was there for a little while.
Yeah.
And then they sent him out because his hand, like, really blew up like a balloon, so they had to get him out of
it. Okay. But was that a fun trip? It seems like that seems like it could have been a good time.
I wouldn't really say that.
Yeah.
It was a very interesting
They're never really that good a time. Yeah.
Anytime you have that, I mean, Bron really represented Bron on that trip. And Alicia and Anna are two opposite personalities.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And Jen as well. So was always competitive. I mean, I was the only guy left. So, you know, I was just like, man, like, I mean, I enjoyed it. I really did to see things that I normally, like, that was my first time out the country. People don't really realize that. But it was a great trip, and I really enjoyed it.
Now, Spencer and Alexis, were you guys proud of the second coming of the Brains versus Brawn versus Beauty? Did they hold up the franchise well?
I definitely think that they did. That season excited me more than a lot of the seasons since Kagyan. It's still not as good as our season.
Oh.
But nothing will be, I don't think, even though I didn't contribute much to it.
Come on. You can't recreate Cass and Team TV.
No, probably not. Were you proud of this Brains tribe, that they seemed like they had their act together more?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, well, it's if you basically, like, win at least one challenge, don't destroy your shelter, and keep your rice, like, above the fire, you win.
Yeah.
Best Brain tribe ever.
I will say this, though. Aubrey, she really killed that first challenge. Like,
yeah.
People didn't know Neil lost the goggles as well. I wasn't the only one.
Mm-hmm.
But Aubrey really, I mean, she was like a dolphin. She got every last one up. I was sitting there looking like, oh, my God. Like,
yeah.
She was great. So
yeah, that premiere was awesome because I felt like it was almost like a microcosm of the season. It's like you see this comeback story from Aubrey and you see her really grow, even within that like first 3 days when she's struggling in the beginning and then she just like kicks ass in the challenge. That was cool.
Okay. Should they do a Brains versus Brawn versus Beauty part 3?
I think they should do it like made up of the cast members from both seasons.
Oh, so you want to combine the all-stars of Brains and Brawn and Beauty. All right. So who's on it, Alexis?
Me. And that's all I care about, really.
You don't care about anything else. Morgan? Is Morgan get to come back?
Sure, okay. Yeah. I'll literally take anyone as long as I'm there.
And Darnell, you like that idea too, right?
Oh, yeah, I do, as long as I'm on it.
Do you guys want another Brains versus Brawn versus Beauty? You're like, ah, whatever. We don't care. So I started. Well,
you could break it further. You could have like subgroups. It could be like the horse whispering beauties and then like the... The male model beauties.
Yes, that'd be perfect. So the idea of the millennials versus the Gen Xers, you guys are all millennials, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Does that speak to you? Is that a season that you guys are pumped up for?
I don't know if I love the... I feel like the twist is just, like, setting us up for failure. Like, it's just this huge, like, layup for... I feel like the message is going to be, these millennials, they don't appreciate anything. They're just, like, have no attention span. And the old
you feel like the audience will root for the Gen Xers.
Yes.
I also think it's not fair, because millennials, we are technology-prone.
Yeah.
So if we're on an island with no technology, we have no advantage in our wheelhouse, so... It's setting us up for failure. We would win in the real world.
Darnell, do you like this season?
Yeah.
This idea?
Yeah, I do. I mean, it's going to be interesting, especially the millennials. No fire probably for a while. No shelter.
Yeah.
I think we need like a Tyler Perry hidden phone.
Something.
Yeah. Something. To call who?
That's genius.
The other beach? Yeah. But I do feel like that maybe it is being a little bit of a setup for the Gen X's to be the at least the CBS fan favorite based on viewer demographics.
Yeah, you know the millennials, they're going to just get these like cocky quotes from the millennials being like, oh, we're going to crush these old people, and then they're just going to get destroyed.
Disaster.
Okay. We'll see how that ends up working out. All right, so I think that what's really fun when we do these things, like when we really have some more time to sort of break things down, is to like get into some of the like stories of like that from the different seasons that you guys played on. And so I guess Spencer, do you have any of the Cambodia stories that you get into that you haven't shared with us before?
Oh my gosh, I got into all the good stuff on the podcast earlier. I wish Varner for longer than four votes would have been incredibly entertaining.
Yes.
Gosh, yeah. I mean, he was just like manic, going all over the place, and totally unpredictable. Abby. I'm going back into dark places now. Yeah, I don't know. Abby was just so stressful. Like, absolute. Like, I think that she would just like come up with a random idea before each vote and sort of like go with that. It would be like right before a vote, and she'd be like, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to vote for someone random.
Yeah.
And we would have to like talk her off the ledge every time. It was.
Yeah.
So stressful.
So, like, how did that ever come close to really screwing something up?
Oh, yeah. So close. I mean, well, it was on the show a little bit, but it was, you know, when Steven was getting voted out, mm-hmm. right before she realized she hated Joe. And so.
And he's moldy. He's a clean.
Yeah, he's gross. He's moldy. And I guess this wasn't shown, but Joe sort of like called her out at tribal council and said like kind of what we were all thinking, just like, Abby, stop annoying people. Just stop. And she took it very personally. And so then she realized she hated Joe. And so right before that tribal, she's just like, I don't even know what I'm going to do. I might just vote for Joe just because I hate him. And I said, well, if you vote for Joe, like Joe's not going to go home. It'll be like you could go home. It could be really bad.
Mm-hmm. You said that at tribal?
Before tribal.
Okay.
I was like, Abby, you can't do that. Like if we don't stick with, you know, what we were going to do, it could all get messed up. And she was just inconsolable. And Kelly Wentworth talked her off the ledge. So.
Okay. Always good Abby Maria's friends. It seemed like that Abby Maria was recently on Twitter and seemed like she very much was implying that she really wanted to play Survivor again. Do you feel like is that a good idea for Abby Maria play Survivor again?
I think honestly for her, no. Like she was miserable on Survivor. She told me when we were there, she's like, I will never, ever, ever do this again. I've never been more like miserable than I am right now.
Mm-hmm.
And now she wants to do it again.
Yeah. What is it about Survivor that you could be so miserable when you are out there and then people keep coming back? Thank you, sir. May I have another?
I think you like glorify. You remember the good times and you forget. It's just super stressful. I think it's probably different things for different people. But in Cambodia, it was just like a lot of stress.
Alexis, is that how you feel too?
No, I mean, when I think back on it, I completely forget like all of the survival stuff. The only time I remember is when I find like a random scar on my body or something like that.
Wait, how many scars do you have from Survivor?
Well, I had over 200 mosquito bites on my body at once, and the majority of those like
did you
were,
count them?
I did, because what else do you do
bored,
on an island?
Right.
And then I was so tired that I lost count, so then I just quit. But that's like, there's a lot of scratches and just weird things that happen to you. But like, that never even crosses my mind. I would do that again in a heartbeat. I think it's because I'm competitive and grew up like with only a brother playing mm-hmm. sports, that the idea of being in a game like 24/7 is super cool to me. So I would do it 100 times again. I would love to do it off camera because I think it would get really real.
Wait, so what's the appeal? Like, you feel like it would be meaner if it wasn't on TV?
I think you would have less reservations, because I did think in my head, I was in college. I had just gotten a job offer. So there's a lot of thoughts in my head like, oh my God, I'm going to lose my job when this airs.
Wait, what did you want to do to people?
I didn't want to do anything to people, but I would have been, I would have thought less about my actions and how I was perceived. If I played again, I now know that that really doesn't matter.
Like, you wanted to curse people out? You wanted to hit people?
No. I did want to mess with people's head a little bit more.
Yes.
And probably I could have come across as more manipulative.
You could have been Tony before Tony.
I could have been the small female version of Tony, I guess.
Wow.
I don't know about that, but I would have played differently had I known what the aftermath.
So that was something that was really in your head when you were out there of like, how is this being perceived?
Constantly, and I did not expect that at all, yeah. Which you would think it's common sense. Before you go out there, you know that that's what it's going to be, but once you get out there, it's just very real that, holy crap, a lot of people are going to see this. So it's a different world.
Darnell, did you think that way also?
Yeah, that was a big factor for a lot of people. Like, they was worried about how they was going to be perceived by everybody. Like, you know, a lot of people like, they scared to go off or do stuff. And, you know.
What were you scared to go off and do?
Well, the aqueduct got recorded.
Yeah, that's true.
The whole story about that is, like, I told my tribe, like, I'm going to the bathroom, I'm going away.
Yeah.
You already know. They say, well, there's one person, they're not going to follow you. But I went all the way out.
Yes.
Like, the rocks. They made it seem like I was right there in front of the beach. I was all the way out. And it was like, Scott was like, Darnell, what are you doing? Then you see everybody running over there to me. I'm like,
yeah.
And I really forgot, like, before I seen, like, when I seen it, I was like, oh, my God, like, I can't believe they put that out of all the stuff you had. That one thing. But people are really, like, nervous. Like, when you're out there, like, how are they going to perceive me? Like, we was just nervous. Like, I said a lot of stuff. Oh, what is it going to say? What are they going to pick? You know, what they're going to say? You don't want to look like a jerk, you know? Like,
mm-hmm.
Some people are okay with it, but.
Yeah. You
know, that's, especially Alicia. Alicia was very paranoid all the time. But, I mean, she called me the first night about the mental giant.
Yes.
And she was so upset. I was like, you forgot to take the cap off? She was like, I did. But my thing is, she was actually writing with the cap on.
Yeah.
How did that happen? But, you know, that's... That,
well, they don't explain fun. You have to take the cap off, right?
Yes.
Oh, they do say
yes.
That? Yeah.
Yeah, they actually bring it out in front of you, and you can, like, try.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
They ask you any questions, anything. Jeff always asks. Alicia was like,
there's a demonstration before you vote?
There's a demonstration. Like, demonstration. Okay, this is how you write it. I'm writing, like, my name, Dan. Like, here you go. They show you, like, it is a really tricky pin, though. It's like, you have, like, a really long end.
Obviously, yeah.
It's a weird pin.
Oh, wow. You know, one of my favorite people to watch on this past season was Sydney, who you seemed like you were close with early on in season. What do you think about the game that she played, Darnell?
She played like Sydney. I mean, she played a great game. I mean, I'm surprised that she played as good as she did, like,
mm-hmm.
especially being in a situation where she could have been next, you know, because realistically she could have because they wanted Alicia around. I was so shocked when Jen came. Mm-hmm. I was so shocked. I assumed that it was going to be Alicia and then Sid. But for her to play, you know, especially how difficult our tribe was, you know, it's tough, you know. And I'm very proud of her, the way that she played. And I'm glad, like, her and Aubrey connected, which I knew because I know their personalities. Like, they're great. Like, Sydney's a great person.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, that was one of my favorite interviews that I had done from this season was the interview that I did with Sydney. And she was just really, really fun. You know, I wish I had the soundboard hooked up. I have like 10 things I would play.
She was a big asset. I mean, she would stretch us out. Like, Sydney, my leg hurt. You know, she would stretch you out and everything. She was a great help around camp.
Yeah. So then when you guys went to the finale, can you talk a little bit about the Sia thing?
Looking like who is this? What is this woman doing? You know, and then she gave Ty the money, and I was like, you should have gave it to Cal Jason because I mean he could have ringed that chick anytime he wanted to. You know,
yes.
Knowing Jason, like, just I was so shocked.
Thank you for not killing the chick.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I was like, maybe you want to cut Jason a check too because if Jason wanted that chick, it's nothing that Ty could have done. You know, but you know it was just shocking. A lot of people was upset because they was like, you know, like. She get off the stage, like, this is our show. Like, why is she here?
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to hear. Like, I didn't know what was going on.
Yeah.
I feel like the most upset person had to be Keith Nail, right?
Yeah, right? Because she was like, yeah, I wanted to do it for Keith Nail last season, but I was too chicken. And then Keith Nail was like, hey. He's just like, what? And he made a video on Twitter, and he said he was just going to show up at one of her shows. But I don't know how far he got with that plan.
He's got to ask Missy and Baylor to help him learn how.
Yeah, just show up. That's right. That's right. Now, you guys had Tyler Perry at the Kagyan finale, right?
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. He went down the line and said hello to everyone and then stopped at me. And I was like, hello. And he's like, hi. I'm like, do you know who I am? And he said, no. So.
Well, how come he didn't give any of you guys money?
Wait, was your interaction with Tyler Perry warmer or colder than with Mark Burnett?
I have no idea. He had no clue who I was, and he had watched the entire season. So
Tyler Perry.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. So. It wasn't fun.
But I think that they're onto something. Like, I think that might be fun if, like, every season, like, it'd be like, oh, ding dong. Like, who's there? Oh, somebody's at the finale door. Who is it? Like, oh, it's Ellen. And oh, Ellen, who do you want to give money to? Like, well, I was a big fan of Millennial Jim. Yeah. You're like, okay. Like, it could be like a fun thing every season of, like, who's going to be the celebrity cameo to give money away. Because you know that people are going to, like, really, like, play to the animals now. Like, we may never see another chicken killed on Survivor again. Yeah. Darnell, would you have been able to not kill Mark the chicken?
I mean, yeah. I mean, if he lasted that long, I probably, you know, but those first 3 days, he would have been gone. We had about two chickens. They said that they had their celebration dinner after I left.
Yeah.
Spencer Wallet had his celebration dinner before I left, but I mean, right after I left, but yeah, Mark the Chicken, if he didn't make the merge, he would have been gone.
Spencer, what did you...
Because you're hungry all the time.
Yeah. Like, what did Juicy J do wrong? Why didn't Juicy J become as beloved as Mark the Chicken?
Juicy J was a very annoying chicken. Did you watch the scene of us chasing...
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, man. We spent like an hour trying to find him and chase him. And he was like, he broke my ankle. Like, he like juked me.
Broke your ankle?
Yeah. He like, not actually broke it, but like, you see like a basketball juke or something and a guy falls. Like, I was the uncoordinating guy falling, except it was a chicken doing it to me. And it was like, we were trying to chase him and I like fell backward. And he was also like a really, I don't know, we should have probably saved him because he was really skinny. Like, we felt bad for him. So
Jeremy tried.
Yeah. Jeremy was the only good one among us.
It was karma that he won.
Yeah, it's true.
But then he still ate him.
Juicy J got the last laugh.
Yeah. Do you think the chicken leash is going to become a big thing?
They don't work. Like, the chickens are... It's crazy how good they are at getting out of stuff. Like, they will try and... Like,
we don't need to keep talking about the chickens. That's fine. Yeah. Spencer, do you have any good Team TV stories?
Oh, God. I mean, yeah, like, he was going crazy before he, you know, was going on an adventure.
Yes.
Just
summer vacation
all the time.
Yes.
Talking about ideas, you know, if you were ever to play Survivor, what would you do? Talking about all kinds of like crazy stuff, like dig a hole in the ground and have like the spy shack under there.
Wait, how would that work?
So that's a great question.
But wouldn't people see a spy shack?
I don't know. I mean,
why would you need a hole under the ground?
He's probably been practicing, so he's like, he's probably got like all kinds of blueprints set up. Jatia might have consulted with him.
Oh, yes. Yes. So it's the idea. So it's like, oh, there's a spy shack. Is anybody in there? Oh no, it's empty. Good. Okay, let's talk right now because the spy shack is unoccupied.
They're gonna have the spy shack on like the camp map that they give you.
Yeah. that would be good. All right, well, let me start getting some questions from you guys. I'm sure you guys have a lot of questions for the panel that we can open up and go into a lot of different directions. So if you want to come up and ask a question for anybody on the panel, just come on up and form a line behind the main microphone, and we'll just keep going through a bunch of different questions. All right, and I see everybody was shy at first, and now it's a race. Now it's a race. All right, the green shorts made it to the... Yes. Who's this?
I'm Mark.
Oh, is that okay. No. Not Mark. Is that on? Okay, great.
My question was, What is your guys, each of your guys' favorite season of Survivor and why?
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Besides your own. Good call.
I feel like it's kind of cheap to say heroes versus villains. It's like everyone's favorite. That might be my favorite, but my favorite outside of like the returnee seasons, honestly, was Amazon.
That's the right answer, by the way. Right answer.
It was like the first time that I saw Survivor being played in a way that really excited me. That was like fluid and unpredictable, and it was like fun and random and great characters. I think people forget how good that season was.
I'm super basic, and I really do like the heroes versus villains season. I watched it like 3 times, and every episode excited me. But I also really like Micronesia. I just liked that girl gang there.
Well, I kind of feel like that this is like a loaded question, but I kind of feel like that those two should probably be like on there, like a different category. Like it's almost like. Besides Micronesia and heroes versus villains, like I feel like that's like how the question should get. It should be like I feel like that's everybody's probably 1-2 into more. I'm sure there's a lot of people that are like no, but I feel like that for a lot of people, like, probably like 80-90% of people that you ask that question to. Well, so what if it wasn't one of those two?
God, that's hard. Then I'm clouded because I just recently watched a lot of the old seasons too.
Really?
Yeah, I did. That's what I do when I'm bored sometimes. I just watch old seasons of Survivor.
How do you pick one?
What?
How do you pick an old season of Survivor?
I literally just pick randomly. Like I'll see this current season, then it'll trigger a thought of an old player. Like, oh, they played the same. I'm like, I'm going to go watch their whole entire season in 2 hours. So it's definitely I do it like super fast. I just watched 26, which I know means nothing to anyone, but I can't remember what the season was called.
Seems so weird that you're watching these like recent seasons.
I know. I mean, I wanted to like just reconnect with old players through the seasons. What was 26 was
Caramoan.
Caramoan, that's what it was called. Caramoan was an interesting one. I wanted to re see.
And what
that
was
one.
Your takeaway from Survivor Caramoan?
I just remember some of the iconic tribals in that season. The Three Amigos, that was that season, right?
Yes.
Yes, and I loved that Three Amigos tribal where they whipped out all the idols and nobody can go home, and that's when Philip went home.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of stuff that gets me excited, and it's rare. It's really hard to execute. So when that happens, it's like my favorite part of the entire show.
Okay. Then Darnell?
Oh, man, there's so many. To be honest, like, China was my favorite.
Whoa.
China was my favorite. My recent is the original Brains versus Beauty versus Brawn. That was like, to me, it's the truth. It's to me, it's probably one of the best as far as like new characters in a while. So I really like that season as well. And I'm a fan of Marquesas.
Okay. I will throw out Panama also. Another good one.
Bring that
pain.
Thank you.
Exile Island is so-so. I don't know. It holds up.
Hey, guys.
Good characters.
I just had a question.
Well, who are you?
Oh, I'm Matt.
Matt.
I had a question about production and Jeff and all that stuff. Like, when you guys go back for returnee season, are people more willing to play fast and loose with, like, Jeff and the production side of things and things like that? Or is the specter of Probst and production enough to keep everybody in line?
I think this is an interesting question because I know in like my 2 times I played back, you know, within like a year of each other. I played in the Amazon and then again a year later in the All Stars, and it was very interesting because I feel like that and I think that Jeff's like shadow has only grown, a million times over, like in terms of like how scared people are of him, like as the like for the new first time players, but. When I was out there with the All-Stars, that there was a lot of the people from the first couple seasons that did not have a lot of respect for Jeff. Like, they were sort of like it was sort of like, you know, like substitute teacher. like, oh, yeah, right, whatever, Jeff. Because I think that in the first couple seasons, I think they probably felt like, oh, where are the stars of the show? Where are the big deal? Like, you're just, some game show host. And I feel like that, I think that was annoying to him. Going back into the All Stars, but I think I wonder like if it's the same for returning players on their second time around, or if they're like people are just as afraid the second time, Spencer, as they are the first time in the modern days?
Yeah, I think that I think it's changed a lot. I think returning players are probably not what they were. You know, like a lot of the people who were on All Stars, they had just been, you know, like going on Letterman, and 50 million people watched the show at one point.
Yeah, they were like borderline like disrespectful, like
Yeah, didn't Jeff say after that season we are never bringing people back again?
Yes. cut to.
But yeah, I think it's definitely not that way now. I think people probably do get a bit more like emboldened and will try more things, but they still I think they still know like Jeff's a bigger deal than they are. Like, I think the attitude on Cambodia just now was very much like people were grateful to be there. So I don't think it's anything like it was, probably.
Darnell, were you guys really scared of Jeff?
No.
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 Yeah, you're framing it as like he like makes you so afraid you won't act out. I don't know if he like is a huge intimidator or anything. I don't think he's like super aggressive necessarily.
I think that I wouldn't want to like step out of line and like get yelled at like by anybody.
I remember some pretty intense conversations before we started from Jeff that was basically like, follow the rules or else. And then it was like,
yeah, we most definitely got that speech as well.
Yeah. All right, David Healy, everybody.
Hey guys. Okay, since we have brains, beauty, and brawn each represented here.
Oh, wow.
My gosh.
Wow, that's how we planned
it. How did we not notice that? Good catch.
I want each of you to make a case for why your tribe division is the best equipped to win Survivor.
Cool.
Even if you don't agree with it, try to say
it. Just in case you guys didn't pick that up on the podcast, so why is the brains, brawn, or beauty the best version of that breakdown from each member of the correspondent tribe? All right, start with Darnell.
Because, I mean, a lot of these challenges are physical. Everything about Survivor is physical, and there's a lot of mental as well. But, you know, being strong and be able to handle a lot of stuff, especially like that first challenge we had, like, he lost it, but, you know, it was very physical. I mean, there's a lot of things about Survivor that you don't see, like, that people don't realize how heavy that boat really was, especially pushing it up sand, and it actually started raining for a while. So stuff like that, yeah, I think that brawn is something that you really need in this game to succeed.
Okay.
So beauty, I think, is... I think it's a really good category to be put in just because you don't have a big target on you. So you're not perceived as, oh, he's such a physical threat, or, oh, she's very smart. Like, you got to watch out for her. You kind of can be the dark horse. And typically, for a male to be classified as beauty, they have to be fit. So they're brawn anyway. And then you'd hope that people have some brains. So.
Yeah, kind of similar to what Alexa said, but I think in Survivor, like, often subtle skills outweigh obvious skills. So I think when you get to the merge, for instance, the big, strong guys are targeted. And I think it's like a huge overreaction, kind of, because the chance that one person is going to win every challenge, unless you're Joe, is really low usually. But people freak out about getting, you know, LJ out immediately, or getting these big, strong guys out immediately, or strong women. Like, people, I think, just might overestimate that. And I think oftentimes the strength you need can be mental, especially later with endurance challenges and puzzles. I think the game gets more and more mental, and it's easy to underestimate that. I think it's hard to make a case for brains because we're the only one that hasn't won.
But, small sample size, though.
We should have won.
Okay.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Did that settle the debate for you guys? Okay. Yes.
I always make this a little bit complicated. Azrael back here. Hey, everybody.
Hey.
So I kind of have a two-part question, and Spencer, it's a little bit directed towards you just because I kind of heard some of your opinions already. But I wanted to know from everybody, going on to the show, tell us a little bit about how you got to that point and kind of what you were thinking and what you were thinking your challenges would be. Spencer, particularly, I know that you talked a little bit about your casting game and how you kind of played a couple things up and how that kind of developed your situation. And then I also wanted, especially you, Spencer, to kind of tell us about maybe your favorite losing finalist. Personally, I don't... No, I think it'd be a very interesting question. I'm a huge Sash fan. I'm a huge Albert fan. And those are not the most popular players, but they played great games. Something that can be, you know, maybe diluted to your game in Second Chances. So I'm interested to see what you have to say.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think as far as, like, casting going into Survivor, it's a lot about figuring out, like, what part of you could be compelling and then just, like, blowing that up, mm-hmm. making that a huge, you know, emphasis, I guess. But as far as losing finalists, that's... Surprisingly, I haven't thought about that. Here,
you know, well, let's put a pin in that. I think that's a good good note about the casting thing. If we could just like real quick, just the casting version while you marinate on the losing finalist that's your favorite. All right, so Darnell, how did you end up getting onto the show?
Well, I applied right after their season went off. You know, I was very close on going to what season with the one with Joe on there.
The Worlds Apart.
Yeah, I was very
close. You could have been in the Dirty 30.
Yeah, I could have been in the Dirty 30.
You were this close, Darnell.
I was real close. They told me, they was like, they just left.
Yeah.
At the finale. But I would say as far as casting, to find out what is very interesting about you, and as Spencer said, play it up, because do not try to be something that you're not, because they will find that out so quick. Mm. Lynn is tough.
But you made a tape and they called you right away and they're like, oh, we would have put you on this last season, but to like just hang out, we're gonna put you on the next new person season we have.
Like, yeah, actually I talked to Penny, she was like, I love everything, you know. But you know, it's the process is so long. Like,
yeah.
You have to send in stuff. It's just so much stuff.
And what'd you do on the tape?
Basically talk trash about people.
like what people? Like people you know or other survivors?
Survivors.
Yeah. So can you give us an example of what you said?
I know they asked me about...
You can leave out whatever you said about Spencer.
No, I didn't.
Yeah,
they
watched Kagyan.
They asked me about...
Kagyan.
They asked me about Shamar.
Yeah. What'd you say about Shamar?
I told him he's like one of the biggest crybabies ever. Like, all he did is complain about sand in his eye the whole time. They asked me about Philip Shepard.
Yes.
I really didn't say too much about... I said, Philip is like the old guy in the gym who thinks he still has it. Like, He's I used to play with Michael Jordan, or I used to play with Julius Irvin, I dunked on him and stuff. You can't take him serious. Just keep him moving. But other than that, I was just pretty much myself, and they loved everything.
Okay. Alexis, what did you do?
Well, I actually applied because my dad is obsessed with the show, and he wanted to play. And it was before they had like family seasons, and we didn't even know that would be a thing. But he said, let's apply together, and maybe we'll both get selected. But we made like separate videos, and at the end said, oh, my dad applied too, just so you know. And my video was wild because I Googled what you should do or like what characters they're looking for just to see if they'd ever be looking for someone like me. I'm like, okay, college girl, that's what I have to be because I am a college girl.
So makes sense.
Played that up, but also like underlined it with like, but I'm a smart college girl. So I tried that. And then they called me like 2 days later. But like you said, it was, oh my God, months and months and months of work after that. So
it's interesting though that you wanted to go with your dad because you guys played in the season that came right after Blood versus Water. And I think following that, they were like, hey, Pairs, like maybe you want to, so do other people want to play with Pairs? Like, we want to do another Blood versus Water season. It's like, if you would have waited, like maybe they would have cast you and your dad on San Juan del Sur.
Well, I said that in my interview and they're like, did you guys look up her dad? And I was like, why are they asking me that? Maybe there's a thing here.
But tell the truth. Like, do you feel like your dad would be good casting? Okay, then maybe not.
He'd be good on the show. He's just, he won't be like the big character. So,
okay.
No. He would play really well, though, I think, because he's smart. He's really, really smart. So
yeah.
I think he would be entertaining for these super fans out there.
Yeah. He would have been the new Dale Wentworth.
I don't know. I don't know about that. You'd have been better than that.
And then Spencer, when I feel like infamously coming out of your casting, like, you know, you really were a persona going into the game, which you really weren't on the show. Would you say to other people like that's a good like blueprint to follow to get onto the show?
What, the blueprint being like have a persona,
yeah, and like that you like people like really came out of at the like beginning of the season like, oh, this guy is a real jerk, and then you weren't that person on the show.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely like I wouldn't advocate like a one size fits all approach for anyone. I wouldn't say like go be a jerk in casting. I think like the consistency thing is probably the most important point. Yeah. That once you put something out there and say like I'm this way, the entire game is like testing for consistency. Mm-hmm. And every step of the way, if you slip up and act a certain way, like if you have been, you know, consistently a jerk or you've been consistently lippy and then all of a sudden you're quiet and nice, like that'll kill you. So it's all about just maintaining it through the finals and all the tests.
Okay, and then what about your favorite losing finalist?
I'm going with Don Meehan.
Don Meehan. Why?
I think, and not to take anything away, I think Cochran played great, but I think Don did so much heavy lifting in that season. I think Cochran needed Don to get to the end. Don did not need Cochran to get to the end.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, she formed such close bonds. People trusted her for like weeks, for like 3 weeks straight. The show was basically someone really trusts Don, tells Don their plan, and then Don uses it against them. And that's like how the game went. And it was sad to me that she didn't get more credit.
If you were on the jury, you could have given a speech for Tony.
Again, it's so hard to say when you watch and you're not there, but I think I probably would have voted for her.
Wow. This is a hot take. Wow. All right. For HapCon 2016. All right, here's Stephanie.
Hi, I'm Stephanie Bourgeois. So someone asked me a question about making a case for Brains, Beauty, and Bronze. So I guess my question is now, how did that tribe division change your perception of the game? Did you guys have like a different lens on as soon as you realized that? And also, at what point did you know that that was the tribe division for the season?
So is the question, did they play differently because they were on tribes of Brains versus Bronze versus Beauty?
Yeah.
I don't know if I like approached anything differently. It definitely changed some of my worries though going into the game. When I went in, I was really worried that I would be perceived as like the nerdy type and that mm-hmm. I would be kind of like outcast or something. That it would be like kind of like Cochran on South Pacific. It would be like the zero in the 90210. That I mean, that's what he said. But like I was worried that I would be like not quite gel. And so when it was Brains, Brawn, Beauty, I was really happy about that because I thought this is great. Like I'm expected to be Brains. I can just, you know, relax. It'll be sort of like a group that it's easy to relate to. So I was happy about that. And I had no idea it was coming until Jeff said it was Brains, Brawn, Beauty. I should have maybe like caught on, but I had no clue.
Same. I had no idea until he announced it. And I've never heard of a season like that. So it was super interesting to me, too, because it was basically labeling our gameplay before we've ever even played. So I think that altered, it made me aware of perception. So I was constantly, you know, thinking that the Brains people are the strategy people, even though they've never played the game before. So it kind of biased me in that. And then I was also trying to play into the beauty thing so that I can remain non-threatening, but Spencer saw right through that. Yeah. So
So how do you mean you would play into the beauty thing?
I would try and like not seem like I'm thinking about the game constantly. Mm-hmm. And I would,
so even after the tribe swap, you were trying to maintain?
Yes. I mean, I tried to strategize on the tribe swap, but it seemed like nobody was really interested in strategizing with me. Mm-hmm. So in the beginning, I definitely, on my beauty tribe, I definitely wanted to stay under the radar just because of the people I was with and how we were labeled. But I don't even think it helped me once we got to the tribe swap.
Darnell, did you guys act differently because it was the Brawn tribe?
Oh, without a doubt. to be honest, we had no clue what the tribe division was until we was on a boat and Jeff was like, you know, he comes out, he's like, hello everybody, and everybody's looking like, okay, like jumpy, and then he says, did you guys know what the tribe divisions are? We was like, no. He was like, Brain versus Beauty versus Brian, and you could instantly see Ty looking like, what? He was looking like, what? You know, everybody was looking like, what? We was like, okay, we're going to go with it. So then that's when we did everything. But once we got to the beach, we were 100% brawn and no brains at all. Like, nothing, nothing got... It took us 2 days to build a shelter. It was just because we were arguing, like, I'm like, Scott, we should put it over here. You know, it's shade over here. But he's like, no, let's put it over here. It's like, it's ants over there. Like, they're not going anywhere. Like, so they shut it. I was like, okay, let's go with it. So they chopped it down and built the shelter over there. And then we laying down, the ants just biting everybody. So we got unnecessary bites. And then they moved it and everything. But nothing was done. We didn't have a fire before I left. I asked, you know, after Alicia was eliminated, they said it still took them. Even with Flint, couldn't get the fire for a while. So, I mean, it was 100% brawn.
Was there another part of the question, Stephanie? Okay. All right, thank you. All right, here's Derek.
Hi, I'm Derek. I have a question about Aubrey. So in her profile, she said she's love child of Cochrane and Sophie. But when Cochrane and Sophie are making Aubrey, they say, find out who's this actual person in our bed. Is a Shambo from Samoa. So she says she got hair of Shambo. Is that her flaw in her game, why she didn't win? So
that was the impurity in the equation? Was that Shambo snuck in? There's some Shambo DNA has gotten into this baby, which would have been the perfect spawn of Cochran and Sophie. Is that your question?
My real question is, what do you think? what do you think Aubrey needs to change when she play next time? So especially like Rob and Spencer play second time after a short break.
Yes.
What kind of change that she can pick up in a short time?
That's Darnell, since you know Aubrey the best, I want to start with you in terms of like, what do you think? Do you think that she needs to change anything if she hypothetically was to ever play Survivor again in a short time?
Honestly, I mean, I think she should play the way she played. I mean, it's the people that we was out there with was, you know, but I mean, if you're playing with veterans or whatever, you know, they respect your game. Like, I honestly think that, you know, there's a lot of people that was unaware of what was going on out there. So, you know, you play with people that's, you know, aware that she'll do better. But I think, like, people always say, well, I can do this, I can do that. But something small could change your whole game. And I think, you know, like I said, I've only been out there for 3 days. But me, I personally think, like, if I were to play a game that I didn't want to play and I end up getting eliminated, I probably would, like, be very disappointed. You know, I think she should play the way that she played before, and then, you know, hopefully she's with better people.
Yeah, I definitely agree. If she were to ever hypothetically play again with like a hypothetical group of really strong players, mm-hmm. I think she should keep her game the same, because everybody should, and that's why they're back on the season, because yeah. If they were back in the season, because they would be, you know, strong, excellent players, and they all know, everybody knows what kind of gameplay everybody has, so they're going to see through it if anyone changes their gameplay anyway. And I loved her gameplay, so if she ever played again, she should do the same.
if you hypothetically were going to play again, would you hypothetically work with hypothetical two-time Aubrey?
I would hypothetically love to do that, and my game would hypothetically be different because I played my real game.
But Spencer, now that you didn't play back-to-back, and I guess she technically didn't. In some ways, I guess she did. How do you think that somebody would adjust to do that?
I'm going to try and answer this question without saying hypothetically. I think with me, a lot of what I talked about when I played again was, you know, I'm changing these things, or I feel like I've changed. And for me, that was because that was sort of what I wanted to do in life. That was not something I just did for Survivor. Like, okay, I'm on Survivor again, time to change. I would agree with what Alexis and Darnell said, that you shouldn't, you know, because you're going on Survivor, change yourself for Survivor. Like, I don't think you can force that kind of thing. And I also think that it depends so much on the group of people you're with that it very well, you know, she could play the exact same game and with a different group of people, it could work really well. Like, it seemed like a lot of what people didn't like from Aubrey or what the jury was annoyed with is that she seemed like she might have waffled back and forth or had a hard time making decisions. And she did. We saw that, you know, she was really emotional about a lot of decisions or that they took an emotional toll. And that's not something, you know, like Jason is going to relate to a lot or, you know, whoever else didn't vote for her. Mm-hmm. They might not relate to that, but the people another time might.
You know, I feel like that for her, that her biggest weakness, I think, in the game was probably also like that, you know, that wishy-washiness that people have talked about, sort of like a lack of confidence. And I wonder if coming through watching herself back on TV in front of, you know, the millions of people that watch this show, if she didn't come away a more confident person from the first time through. Was that something that you noticed about her, Darnell, from like when you guys first played to where you guys ended up at the finale, that she seemed to gain that confidence that maybe she didn't have on day one?
I was very proud. She handled the whole thing very well. Like, mm-hmm. she you know, handled it like a champ. Like, you could see, like, I mean, to be in that situation, a lot of people, like, Michelle was freaking out. Like, if there was a possibility she was going to lose, she was freaking out. But Aubrey was calm, like, the whole time. I don't know if she knew or whatever, but she was, you know, she was very calm and collected. Like, I honestly think if Aubrey, you know, is out there again, she has a very strong shot at winning the game.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thanks, Eric. All right, here's John. John. John got me this sign on his trip to Willis Tower. It says Rob Av. Thank you very much, John.
How y'all doing?
Very good.
Good.
All right, so I got a question for all three of you, but I got also one for Spencer. Mm-hmm. All right, so I'll start with the one with Spencer. So coming into Cambodia, and they just got dumping Darnell season, and they're like, any producer tell you like how to, you know, survive that way they can avoid a peaceful cowboy collapse?
Yeah, I don't know exactly how it worked. I mean, we weren't given like instructions of avoid this, but I feel like maybe there was like an area of the beach or like some plants or something that were causing people to get infections and stuff that they found out about from you guys. I don't know for sure, but I think we got like pretty lucky that yeah.
Well, and John's asking also about the Beast Mode Cowboy dehydration issue.
Yeah. So with that, I think that we just kind of got lucky. I don't know if they necessarily changed anything, but I think it actually the weather was just very different. Like it was very hot for the first season, and then we had a few days like that, but for the most part, it was rainy and cloudy and cooler.
So they weren't like, hey, stay hydrated more so than when you played your first season?
They were.
Yeah.
Like they definitely made a huge point to say always have your water full at challenges and stuff. But I think we also got lucky that it cooled down.
Okay. What was the second question?
All right. For all of you, like, any behind the scenes with the production, like any funny things like before and during the game? Like any funny...
Like funny haha?
Yeah.
That's maybe a little too vague.
Were you at...
John.
Alexis, were you at the tribal where like Sarah gave a lackluster answer and Jeff wasn't happy?
No.
Oh, okay.
I was gone by then, mostly because of you. Oh, yeah. I was at the tribal that Jeff face planted. It was funny. Oh.
What happened?
Oh, it was so funny. He was walking to go get the votes and he tripped on that step and just wiped out. And all of us were like, oh my God, should we help him? Like, I don't know. And then he just got up and continued as if nothing happened.
Did the votes come out of the thing? Did you see who was...
He didn't get to the votes yet. He was just trying to get the votes.
Wow.
Oh God, that was... Oh, I can't believe I forgot about that.
I forgot about that.
Put that out in a blooper reel somewhere. All right, thank you, John. All right, here's Roxanne.
Hey, y'all. I know you say... Sorry, I'm nervous.
Don't be nervous.
You say, I've heard you say on the podcast, Rob, like, don't, if it's okay. If you don't ask, if you're not told not to, you could maybe do something.
Yes.
Okay, all right. Now, what I was getting at was, like, when Wu, everybody kept saying Wu stole your clue. Now, granted, you got your clue. I mean, you got the idol and everything, but was that technically stealing? Because... he found it.
Yeah.
Because you left it there.
Yeah, no, that was totally legit. I was just dumb. It was like,
it was trying to break that on
he's
you.
No, he was allowed to, I think, for sure. It was there. He took it, and it was like such a weird thing. I like started chasing him. I don't no idea
oh,
why.
Know.
Like
yeah.
Like Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah, like I don't even know why we were running. We were just like so in the moment, but he like I don't know what I would have done if I caught him. I would have been like, "Hey, like give me
whoa, Spencer. Stop hitting me."
That was great.
It's just that I, you know, he got a lot of slack. I heard a lot of people just say, "Oh, he stole the clue," and it's like, "Well, he didn't really steal it, but
yeah, I know. I think he did. What I have no problem with what he did.
Are you saying more people should push the boundaries, Roxanne?
Well, if Jeff doesn't say no, try it.
Yeah.
All they can do is say no.
Mm-hmm. But is that something where then if Wu got to the well, I guess we'll get to the end. but like, is that like, did you resent him for in the game for like, hey, like that really wasn't cool that you stole the you stole, like to the like the like gameplay aside, like was that something that like that you know like fed into like the whole Weasel Wu idea?
I don't think the clue. I think I was like bitter against Wu, but not about the clue. I think the Weasel Wu is like a took on a life of its own.
It's a different story.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. You, I noticed you didn't mention Wu as your favorite runner up.
Oh.
Yeah, not cool, Spence.
He's not my least favorite runner up.
Yeah.
Thank you, guy.
Hey, guys. So my question is actually about Survivor Australia. And it doesn't matter if you've seen the trailer or not. But
Survivor the Australian Outback?
No, Australian Survivor. Oh. Sorry, I should have said that correctly.
Jack behind you took his applause back.
But my question is, they've announced it's a 55-day game. And what do you think about, like, 39 days seems like a long time. 55 days, do you think you'd be able to do it?
You know, Spencer, you've gone 39 days and, what, 37 was in kind of with the,
yeah.
I mean, did you feel like as somebody who's, like, gone 39 days, do you feel like that you had 16 more days?
No. I know that people sometimes say, like, I can't do that, and then they can. They have more in them than they realize, but I did not think I could have gone that much further. 55. I mean, like, the human body can go only 78 days without food, and that's if you're in a complete, like, resting state, like, lying down, doing nothing. So that's kind of extreme, I think.
That being said, though, I don't think we know enough about how the conditions are going to be. Like, it's kind of unfathomable to think of American Survivor going 55 days, but maybe Australian Survivor, you know, they could have more, you know, food rations and, you know, better shelter and stuff like that. So we just don't know. I've been getting a lot of emails from people about wanting to know how we're going to cover the Survivor Australia when it comes out. And I haven't said anything about it yet, but I guess for HapCon, I'll make an announcement. Okay. There may be Survivor Australia know-it-alls coming this fall. Unless Steven changes his mind. Yes.
Thanks, guys.
Okay.
This isn't my question, but Outback, like 23rd on your ranking?
Wow, well, you're like Kangaroo Jack. Yeah, so why did I rank Survivor the Australian Outback 23rd in my season ranking? Okay. Well, real quick, I don't think that holds up very well. I feel like that they're, I think actually the Borneo, I think it's a very good pre-merge and a very boring post-merge. It's the inverse of Survivor Karamoan. I think it's really heavy, top-heavy, and I think after the Jeff Varner vote, outside of the Jerry bump, and I think that the finale is borderline unwatchable. Up until the vote where Tina takes Colby, I mean, I dare, like, if you can't sleep, start the Survivor Australia finale. Survivor the Australian Outback finale.
But if Outback wasn't gold, they wouldn't have taken a risk on Africa. So.
Okay. Look, it was definitely a really great first half of the season. I think it's very, like, I think that the second half of the season is a lot of watching paint dry. It's very little strategy going on there.
Well, Well, sorry if this is not the most interesting question, but I've always wondered, in like the past 6 years, production has always thought it's really, really important for your outfits to be color coordinated.
Yes.
Because
yes.
We just aren't smart enough with the buffs and the color of the confessional tests to remember what tribe everyone's on. What were the instructions for that? Were you said to like bring a trash bag of green, purple? And they did that a little bit on All Stars, but they didn't whack us over the head with it.
Okay, so why? What do they tell you guys to bring clothes in the monitor? Like they tell you like, hey, Spencer, got any green clothes?
They were like, okay, so watch the Charlie Brown special and then look at the outfit. You have to send, like, they give you a color guideline, and then you have to send options, basically, like three options in green or turquoise or teal or whatever it is, and then they'll sort of mix and match, pick what they want.
And for me, I mean, they told me one color, and I went out, bought a lot of things because I didn't know what I needed. And sent it, and then they're like, oh, never mind, you're this color now. So then I had to redo it, and then they hated all my stuff, so I ended up wearing stuff that wasn't even mine, and I liked
Whose
it better.
Was it?
They bought it. I mean, oh. It was cute stuff. I wear that shirt all the time now, so it worked out.
Everything they gave me, the funny thing about my stuff is they tell you to give you a jury clothes, and then they give you a game clothes. The clothes that they had me wear were jury clothes, like the pants. I was upset because those was not the pants I sent in. I'm like, they went into my jury clothes and put those in, so I was out there with skinny jeans on, running around.
Mm-hmm.
And jeans is horrible on Survivor to wear.
Yeah. In the Amazon that I had brought like a gray tank top, and like they told me too many other people had like a gray tank top, and they made me like come back with another one, which was like a blue one, which was ill fitting, and I wish I didn't say that I had that.
Just one more. What are the odds of Heidi Hamels coming out for Tiger Mountain 4?
Probably 0.000. I mean, I don't really know what incentive she would have to ever talk about Survivor. I don't know. Maybe is there like some possibility? I mean, the best you could hope for is like she has like some sort of like charity initiative. Well, I guess if you really wanted to like lay out a case, I think you'd probably hope for. I don't want to be like. I'm not going to lay out the best case scenario for that to happen. I'll just say like maybe if she like had like some sort of like charity thing she wanted to promote, but I think she has various other channels to be able to promote that. So I would think it's very, very unlikely. I don't even know if she's talking to Jenna at this point in time. So I think it'd be tough to get a hold of her. Maybe if she's on social media. I think maybe if she got on Twitter. Then maybe like a coordinated Twitter attack of like everybody saying like, hey, you should go on RHAP. Maybe that's the best case scenario. But she seems like she's off the grid.
Mm-hmm. Hi.
Hello.
Rourke,
yes. Okay, this question might go south real fast. Are you guys challenge watchers?
The MTV challenge.
Yes.
Oh, no. I'm sorry.
Oh.
All right. Well, the current season is Rivals, and so I was wondering how you guys think a Survivor Rivals would
go. Now, I have long been a proponent of the Survivor Rivals season. I think it would be a great idea. One person I would classify as in the know had told me that that they did not think that enough people could pass either drug tests or psych evaluations who have the really good rivalries to be able to do it. But I do think it would be a very fun season. I think that I like the idea of like a one world type format in a Survivor Rivals where it's like you're on the separate tribe, but you're at least on the same beach.
Yeah.
And you could really I hate you. I think that would be very fun. I wonder if it also would be a season where the San Juan del Sur Redemption Island would also work, where it's like, all right, pick two people. Like, okay, Jeremy is going to square off against his wife in Redemption Island. So you have the rivals, and then every week, instead of reward challenge, we have the rivals squaring off in reward challenge, one-on-one, like sumo at sea. I think it would be a really good idea for a season. You have any thoughts?
Yeah, that would be cool. And I think the one world thing, that was a good twist. It was just, I feel like, kind of left by the wayside. And that would be cool to see that come back.
I think it was a season that had uneven casting. And I think that's why it especially did not work.
Yeah, I'd like to see really like fresh, deeply rooted rivalries mm-hmm. in there so that it can be just super.
Do you have a rival? Who's your rival?
I don't know. If I think I watch my season again, I'm pretty sure it's Spencer.
So Spencer's your rival.
But we're friends, so that's fine.
No, I think that'd be a good move to play that up. I think that if they've been, that would be, you know, it's like just get on the Spencer rival train.
Yeah, we don't like each other at all.
Start a Twitter feud. That's how a lot of people yeah. get paired.
Oh, yeah.
I'll have to ask Tony for some advice on
that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have a rival? Who's your rival? I feel like you don't even have a good rival anymore.
Me?
Yeah.
You'd probably have to be Cass.
Not
that I have bad feelings for Cass, but it would probably be Cass.
Yeah. I feel like that's barely a rivalry anymore.
Who would yours be, Robin?
My rival?
Cool Rob.
Probably there's a number that have come out of the podcast. Not too many from the actual Survivor. I don't know.
Chatea versus Rob C.
It'd be a good one. But no, I love the idea of Survivor rivals. I don't know. I feel like that, you know, Survivor 38, when they're like trying to come up with another, you know, next all-star format after whatever Survivor 36 all-star format was. I think it'll happen. I think it happens in our lifetime.
Yeah. I'd love to see it as well. To see the Alicia versus Jason again.
Oh, yeah.
That's waiting. That's just waiting.
Fire making competition.
Yes.
Oh yeah, fire. That would be great.
Hi.
Yes.
I'm Bianca. I missed the memo on the name tag.
That's okay.
So in recent years, we've seen like a lot of new additions to the game, like advantages and challenges, or the super idol, or addition of votes, or anything. Do you feel like those detract from the game because they're just like kind of like new complexities that kind of take away from the core Survivor, or they enhance the game because they're like fun new layers?
I think this is a pretty interesting question because I feel like that in Big Brother, where we talk about a lot, don't freak out, people who hate Big Brother. But I feel like that most of the twists that they add to Big Brother are sort of universally hated. But I feel like that in Survivor, I feel like that we've added things that are like, okay, I think that we have like more, a little bit more of a wait and see approach on certain things. Do you guys have strong feelings about some of the recent modifications that they've made?
No, I think the idol and the challenge was great. I wish it was there when I was there.
Yeah.
A great addition.
That was cool.
That was cool. I wish it was there when I was there.
Yeah, I'm like you. I feel like during the challenges, I would just as soon like flip a coin. I don't really care to watch too closely, but when that's going on, that's awesome.
So you like the idea of the idol at the challenge?
Yeah, I love twist. Like, I'm a twist fan. I think that there's this idea that there's like a pure Survivor and we're going away from it, but really like Survivor changed when you did a tribe swap in season 3.
Yeah.
Like, there are all these changes, and I think embracing it and just accepting you can do incremental changes where it's not too, you know, it's not perverting the game too much, that there's mm-hmm. still that element of, you know, strangers from different walks of life playing this game. I think it works more often than it doesn't work. They've had more good twists than bad ones, so I'm a fan.
Yeah, yeah, it's hard. And Tyler Perry Idol, I think that was one where people were like, really, like during the time, it was like what? What is this? What were you saying?
I'm all for experimentation. I think that's really exciting. I'm not a fan of like people finding idols without a clue and just like stumbling upon an idol on the floor, or when like one person gets too many idols. With that, like, that could be completely out of, you know, the control of the environment. But as a fan, I don't like when someone's stacked with too many things in their pocket. So
you don't like the super idol?
No, and I don't like one person having three idols.
Okay. Well, I don't think that's happened yet.
Wow.
Who had three idols?
Val.
Oh, Val. Val. Val had 52 idols. Val had 52 idols. Yeah, it's hard because I think as a production, it's like they don't want it to be stale. They don't want it to be the same thing over and over again. So you want to like change it just enough, but not too much that it's unrecognizable to the audience. So it's definitely a challenge.
Thanks, guys.
Okay.
Hi, my name is Trisha.
Hi, Trisha.
So I was really glad to see the return of the marooning. I love when the season starts with a bunch of just chaos on a boat and you're pulling all your stuff and your chickens, and I just love it.
It's
wondering...
not going to happen like that anymore after Sia. Sia. No, I'm not joking. This isn't a joke. That Sia, who friend of Cochran, that they had viewing parties at Jeff's house, and Sia said she doesn't know why they have to let the chickens run around the ship because they're very scared, And she understands that survivors need to eat a chicken, but she doesn't know why they have to be scared. So now the chicken you're going to see in future seasons of Survivor, the chicken is just going to be like in a cage. And you're just going to pick up the cage and run with it. You're not going to have to like have Beast Mode Cowboy like jump off a boat like like wringing a chicken's neck.
So I'm wondering what the experience is like firsthand to participate in a marooning, and if there's any elements of early Survivor seasons that you would like to see come back similar to the marooning.
Okay, now just to set this up, so you guys had a marooning in Koh Rong that Kagyan started with. You guys were all on the beach, right? So picking your person, pick one person to go for an advantage. But then Cambodia started with a marooning, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, the marooning was crazy. Like, I always thought when I was watching, I always thought, oh my, that seems like chaotic and scary. Like, I don't want to start with a marooning. I don't know what I would do with myself. But it was actually, I thought it was really fun. Like, I liked doing it in Cambodia, jumping on the boat and stuff. And I was, like, the jerk with three chickens, like, jumping off the boat.
Sia was not giving you any money.
Yeah, I'm never getting money from Sia. I thought it was pretty cool. And it's you know, just a minute or two. It's kind of a mad scramble. So it's a fun thing. I think it's good. And I'd like, as far as old things to come back, I'd love to see a challenge that lasts like a really long time.
Yeah, right? Like the challenges seem like super short now. I'm watching old seasons. I'm watching Africa right now. And it's like there's like four or five parts to every challenge. And you're just like, what are these new guys doing?
Yeah, I'd love to see like the first final immunity challenge. And they also did it in All-Stars, the hands on the pole.
Yeah.
And then like Tom and Ian and Katie, that challenge in Palau. Something like that would be awesome.
Thank you.
Darno, did you have any stories from the marooning?
A lot of those coconuts was hitting people in the head.
Oh, no.
It can be very dangerous. You know, it's total chaos. Like, everyone's running all over the place. The funniest part is the one that they show when Scott took the chicken out of Leah's hand. He just snatched it out of her hand, Liz. I mean, it was crazy. Like, people was taking stuff out of people's hands and stuff, but, you know, it was a lot of people getting hit in the head with coconuts.
Did you know a lot about Scott before you were on Survivor? Like, did you...
I knew who he was.
Yeah.
I just played... I mean, I respect the fact that he came out. He was like, yeah, I'm an NBA player. I mean, you couldn't hide that. Like, Scott is huge. You know, and... but we pretty much knew who he was. The problem with Scott that we had was just... The problem I had was his work ethic. Mm-hmm. Know a couple of basketball players, Eddie Curry, Jamal Crawford, and I was just like, we was really like, man, like, you are the star. You are our anchor, you know? And it was just a lot of, like, negativity around the beach and stuff. So that was a lot of the downfall with Bron. We had too many egos. Like, you got Jason, he's an alpha man. I'm an alpha man. Like I said, it was a whole bunch, even Alicia, like, everybody think Alicia is a firecracker. I mean, he talks about Abby. It's like talking about Alicia. I would love to see those two play together.
Wow.
I would love to see it.
Both be on the rival season.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, Alicia, she doesn't take no crap from anyone. And it's just, you can't tell her anything.
So, Darnell and Spencer, who would win one-on-one? Scott Pollard versus Uncle Cliffy?
In B-ball?
Yeah. No, it's Survivor.
Scott has the hashtag winning going for him.
the
Who's bigger?
NBA championship.
Cliff is huge.
Yeah. I was huge. Like, there was that challenge where we had to try and pull Cliff off of a pole.
Yeah, against me at a pole. Being pulled by a grown man. Like, how is that fair?
Yeah.
I think Uncle Cliff is too logical. Like, he assumes that people are going to play with common sense, which is not always the case.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if he would break out of that if he played again. And I think Scott is just, like, completely illogical and has no thought process.
If Scott played again, he would make the murder. I was like, why do you all didn't take him to the end? Like, you know, everybody was looking at Scott like, you know, it was no way Scott was going to win at all. Mm-hmm. Nothing. You know, it was just... To the point where he made everyone mad, to the point where they just had to get rid of him. But I think Scott will make it further.
All right. But the basketball game would be won by who?
Cliff.
Cliff. Okay. Emily. Okay. This is an act. Okay, yes. All right. So who's going to hold the microphone? Okay. Here we go. All right.
So since you guys were all on seasons that had certain themes to them, men versus women, brains, bronze, beauty, and second chances, we were wondering,
if you were to go play again, like, what sort of theme division do you think worked best for you personally if you're going to play?
So, like, brains, brawn, and beauty, age division, gender division. Krista?
Fans versus favorites, blue collar, white collar, no collar, or something new.
Hmm. All right. A lot to process there.
Robs versus Johns?
Yeah, Robs versus Johns. Would yeah. be set up. That would actually be pretty terrible. I mean, call me crazy. I do feel like that. Like on the team of Robs, I feel like that. You know that like Robs going after me first out of anybody. I mean, again,
I'd bet on you.
I feel like he likes me a little bit.
He's a friend of the podcast now.
Yeah. We got Rob with two B's is right there. Come on. Me? Be the same exact
I don't know if Rob with two B's would make it out there.
You got RC. Okay. Have you guys thought about these other sort of formats?
I mean, I don't know about, you know, as far as... I would like to have, like, I used to be where you... pick who was on your team.
Mm-hmm.
Give you a wide variety of people to work with, because, I mean, they put you out there, you don't know nothing about these people, and it's usually people that you don't like. And you have to work not just battling yourself, but them as well, and it's real difficult. Like, you have, like, say for instance, like, me and Aubrey talked a lot. Like, if me and Aubrey was on the same tribe, we would click.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they put you in these tribes, you don't know anything, and it's really difficult to deal with people that, like, irrational sometimes.
Yeah. Do you guys have a suggestion for a season that we should do? How Battle of the Seasons, I heard. How does Battle of the Seasons work? It's like people from like the Amazon versus like Thailand? Like Family Feud? Republicans versus Democrats. That's the end of the comment section on RobSportsSite.com. I don't even know if we can handle millennials versus Gen X. Abby.
Hi. I was wondering earlier in this morning when we were talking in the Big Brother panel, some people were referencing the psychological aspect and being able to talk to a psychologist pretty much whenever they wanted to. And I was wondering if that was a possibility, if you can call for a psychologist or a psychiatrist while you're out there. And if so, like, is that perceived to be a weakness? You know, by the other players, or would that be looked down on if that even is a possibility? If you could just talk about, do you have to just wait till you're voted off to be able to talk to anybody for your mental health?
That's a good question. I've never heard of a player in the game being brought into, you know, that Dr. Eliza has worked on the show for many years. Mm-hmm. And I think that you pretty much have unlimited access, like, after the game, but I don't recall ever hearing about somebody who, you know, a survivor having, like, a mental breakdown who did not then just leave the game. Like, I don't think that there is a person that I've heard yet of, and maybe there are stories out there of a survivor, I'm having a mental breakdown, I need to be, you know, out of here, and they sort of, like, talk them off the ledge and put them back out there. I think that's sort of... Alex, you're raising your hand. You know somebody? Well, she was gone. She left.
She left. Yeah.
They took her.
And I think the whole point is to see how people handle this mental challenge.
Yeah.
So the whole time your interviewer essentially is your psychologist. You just have to remember that you're on camera doing it. And like you said, if you're pushed beyond your limit, it's up to you to pull yourself out of that situation and know that you have that access afterwards. But I think if they were given, you know, the ability to just privately hash it out with a psychologist throughout, that would kind of defeat the idea of being a survivor in that setting.
Yeah, I have not heard any Do you have no, something?
I don't know if that ever happened. I was just going to say, I don't know like how it would happen. I feel like if you ask for help...
Jeff's your
like,
therapist at Tribal Council.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
You can talk it out with him.
Yeah, he is.
But I mean, no, like you, before every challenge in every Tribal Council, you see the medical doctor and you get checked up on. And I feel like if I were making Survivor, I almost feel as if you should have that if you want it. I think that you could... get checked up on if you want it in the same way that you could get checked on medically if you want it. You know, I don't necessarily see like, maybe it's just me, but I don't necessarily see like the physical ailments that should be totally delineated from the mental ones.
It's just interesting to me to see the difference between the Big Brother weather in their house. You know, it's not nearly as challenging, you know, physically, but I guess maybe in the house it's more challenging mentally. Is that the idea?
Well, I do think that Big Brother is more mentally taxing, and maybe that's a controversial opinion on the panel, where I think that Survivor is far more physically taxing. But I feel like that the people that have probably needed that probably just quit the game, as opposed to like having that sort of issue and then sort of talking through it. I feel like they either work it out themselves or they sort of just quit the game.
It's also a lot longer, Big Brother. It's like 90 days, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, you're sort of like, it's like almost two Survivor Australias.
Right. Okay, thanks, guys.
Almost.
Ashley, it's really nice to meet you. Something like...
Ashley, get closer to the mic.
Oh, no. But that question
What do you mean, no?
I'm so sorry. I feel like with the Lindsay and Trish situation, did Lindsay, I think, just it seemed like she just really took herself out of it. It's like she could not be there anymore. So it seems like that's probably what happened. So
Lindsay.
Coming up on Millennials versus Gen X, it made me think about Nicaragua, the OG, Gen X versus Millennials. Do we think, like, are the Marty Piombos going to prevail, or is it going to be another Fabio?
All right, so the question is that will a Millennial or a Gen Xer win? Is that the question, Ashley?
More or less. I think, is it going to be, are they framing it in a way where it's like, it's Gen X, where it's like we can talk about the Millennials and their private cell phones. Are they trying to kind of, is there a redemptive thought for like what happened with Fabio? Can we go there?
Wait, what sort of redemption are we looking for Fabio? For the old people? To redeem
people, not letting a Fabio win.
All right, so you feel like that the old people let this slip through their hands in Nicaragua, and that this is now the chance for the old people, even though probably most of the young people in Nicaragua are now Gen Xers. So they really get to have their cake and eat it, too.
I mean,
maybe. I think so. Or just how do we think it's going to go?
With, like, the Piombo or Fabio question, I'd say neither. I think, I feel like... I'm going to pick a Gen X person, but I feel like the Piombo archetype is not necessarily the one that it's going to be sort of probably a more mild-mannered Gen X person who toes the line and isn't too critical of the Millennials. Maybe let some of the other Gen X people talk about how much the Millennials suck and then just a nice older person.
And yeah, to build on that, I think that probably when we handicap this season, I think we'll probably look at like, okay, who's the most mature Millennial or... who's the most hip and with it? They probably wouldn't say hip and with it. Gen Xer. So not me. So that's sort of like you try to find that sweet spot in the middle of both things. Like the Millennial that can deal with the Gen Xer or the Gen Xer that can deal with the Millennials.
Absolutely. Or like maybe an argument for like a Holly Hoffman or a Dawn. I'm so excited.
Holly Hoffman, voice of the Millennials. Oh, yeah.
Hi, I'm Mike. I was curious on the application. There's always that protection where, like, which players are you like or which ones do you respect and would you, like, get game from, you know? I'm curious which players y'all put for that question.
So which players did you put on your application? Who you most like? That one?
Yeah.
Okay. Darnell, do you remember?
I put Sean Rector.
Yeah.
I think I put Parvati, and then I put Wentworth. But like that was part of my application play. You got to pick the player who you think that
you could be perceived as, so that you kind of bias them in their perception of you in the casting process. But then I'd like put Wentworth / Sierra in the future if I like updated my records or whatever.
If you updated your records, good.
Did you try and put someone other than Parvati? And they're like, no, you have to put Parvati.
It was not a no. It was like a, what about Parvati? I was like, okay, I guess Parvati.
Yeah, I think I actually put Marty Piombo, which is explains why I didn't win. And Steven, I think I put as well.
Yeah. That's interesting. I brought up Marty on a podcast recently where I felt like that because he was, when the first season we did picks of who do you pick to win, I picked Marty to be the winner of Survivor Nicaragua, and I said I wouldn't pick somebody like Marty now because I really do feel like that when I'm looking at these things, I do feel like the social game is probably where more of where I'm looking, and I feel like that's somebody who's like, okay, well, he knows all the ins and outs of the strategy, but I feel like that I wouldn't base a winner pick on that. At least not until a couple more strategic people win in a row. And then I'll switch it again.
Yeah, that was with like Nick Majorano, right? You were saying you would pick him.
I would pick Nick Majorano?
Yeah, but you changed your ways, you wouldn't.
Maybe if I was thinking about picking Nick, but I tried to. But don't worry about my picks. They're not good. They're not good. Okay, let's do a couple more questions. All right, here's Jeremiah.
Hello. I got two questions. One just for you, Spencer. Mandy Billings that was unable to make it and wanted to ask you, where do you stand on still doing a Gilmore Girls podcast?
Oh! I totally forgot about this.
People want to know, Rob.
Yeah, I mean, apparently they're all dying to know. Really,
yeah.
You know, if you're going to do it or not. And then for you guys, we all know that the confessionals is like a huge part of the game that a lot of people really don't think about, especially if you're a new player. Is there a moment where production asks you a question where you thought, oh man, I may be in trouble here in the game, or maybe a question that maybe makes you think, oh, you know, I might be okay here. I mean, was there a moment where you got a question from production during your confessional where you go, uh-oh, I'm in trouble?
I definitely did. I had a lot of time to reflect on my experiences, but I could think about multiple times where, you know, I don't think production is ever trying to hint at something. I just think that they're trying to, you know, like get you to think more thoughts than you're already thinking. So it could go wrong for you and it could go right. Because if they're asking something like, well, why do you trust this person? You're thinking in your head, well, should I not be? And you could trust that person. They might be fine, but you're now messed up in the head about it. But, you know, there's a few times where I could remember some questions I was asked where I don't think they were trying to help me or anything, but I think I should have thought more about those things. And like if I ever played again, I would pay more attention to that, even if it went negatively for my game. It would still, I think, get me to see things that I wasn't seeing.
Okay. And did you have anything on that? Okay.
No.
All right. So go back to the Gilmore Girls. So so you want to do a podcast?
Yes.
This is a recurring show or want to talk about why you love the Gilmore Girls?
Well, I mean, it's obvious. I don't think you need to talk about that.
Okay.
Without saying, but I think I want to start it as a one-off show.
Yes.
Talk about sort of Gilmore Girls through the years, and then maybe do a few more. We could do more like maybe a podcast of a season, because it's
okay.
I mean, it's seven seasons.
All right. Well, I'll put you in touch with Josh Wigler, and I'll talk about this. But hold on. But yeah, so I do have a game in mind for this, just to test to see how much of a Gilmore Girls expert you are. I have a game here today. Okay. All right. So. I don't have a good name for this game, but Spencer, since you are such a Gilmore Girls expert and a Survivor expert, surely you would be able to tell if an episode title was a title of a Survivor episode or a Gilmore Girls episode.
I love it.
I hope.
All right, hold on. So Rourke says she knows everything. Okay, so then you could tell Spencer if he's right or wrong. Okay, how about that? Here, come up to the microphone real quick. Rourke.
So it's going to okay. be...
So I'm going to give you the title of an episode.
Okay.
And you just tell me, is it a Survivor episode or a Gilmore Girls episode?
I binge this on Netflix. I don't know all the titles.
Okay. Well, that's that. Well, we'll see. We'll see how much of an expert you are. All right. A Lost Puppy Dog. Is that an episode of Survivor or an episode of the Gilmore Girls? A lost
there
puppy
are no,
dog.
There are no puppies in Gilmore Girls other than Paul Anka, and Paul Anka's a dog, so I'm going to say Survivor.
What season? I know what season it is.
What is it?
It's with, it's Micronesia.
Yes, that is correct. Episode 8 of Micronesia is a lost. I believe Eric Reichenbach was the lost puppy dog in question. Okay. Round two. We did it, guys. We did it, guys. Is that an episode of Survivor or The Gilmore Girls, Spencer?
Oh, my gosh. So generic. I'm going to guess Survivor.
Final answer?
Final answer.
Rourke?
I agree.
That is correct.
What season?
That is the 11th episode of the aforementioned Survivor Nicaragua. The Gen X versus Millennials prequel. Okay. All right, round three. You're doing great. Okay.
2-0.
Okay. Round three. Die, jerk. Die, jerk.
That was the motto of the Outcasts in Pearl Islands. But, I don't know if that was the title. I guess Gilmore Girls?
That is the Gilmore Girls. That is episode 8 of season 4 of the Gilmore Girls. You knew that one, Rourke?
Yeah, Rory writes a negative review of a ballerina.
Okay. All right, round 4. I'm a kayak, hear me roar. I'm a kayak, hear me roar. Is that an episode of Gilmore Girls or Survivor?
Gilmore Girls, I'm going to guess.
Rourke?
No.
Spencer's right!
Oh, shit!
What?
Rourke is wrong!
Is that from season 7?
Season 7, episode 15.
I haven't watched season
7.
Season 7
is not Gilmore Girls.
But what is it?
It's David S. Rosenthal's abomination of Gilmore Girls.
Will you podcast about the abomination season 7?
Well, I haven't watched it yet, but...
Okay. All right.
It can't be that bad.
So you just think you like Gilmore Girls?
I've watched 6 full seasons.
Okay, you haven't watched the Abomination season.
Gillies, don't watch season 7.
Gilly. All right. One last one, Spencer. Can you go for the sweep? Okay. Round 5 is We've Got Magic to Do. We've Got Magic to Do. Is that Gilmore Girls or Survivor?
I'm going to say Gilmore Girls.
He's right.
It's right. Wow. Okay. That is a Gilmore Girls expert. Very impressive. Very impressive. Okay. 5 for 5. That's not bad. Yeah. All right. Real quick. Last 2 questions.
Hello. My name is George. Before today, when have you guys wanted to pull a Shatner and tell Survivor fans to get a life?
Never.
There's got to be instances, and you can take this seriously too, where people have crossed the line.
You mean like when has a fan been out of line?
It can be something like Survivor fans have voted for somebody. Come on, something not so serious, or when has somebody just made you really uncomfortable? Look,
the point where you guys get a life is the point that I'm out of a job. So do not get a life, okay? Promise me. Do you guys have any stories about somebody that crossed the line?
I don't think I've ever been like get a life or anything. I don't think it's gone that far. But one time when I was walking down the street, I had like headphones in. A guy just like walked up and hugged me. And, like,
whoa!
And like he like ran to me and hugged me. And I was like, do I know you? And he like
I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, it's been 99% positive, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely. Every time I
meet a fan, I just feel like I'm connecting with a fan because I'm a super fan also. So it's awesome to meet other super fans because there's, I mean, in my generation, there's really not that many people who go crazy about it like I do. So I love it. And then I love tweeting, live tweeting during the episodes. That's one of my favorite things to do. Mm-hmm. So I've never had negativity come from it.
One of the great live tweeters of the episodes, Alexis Maxwell.
Thank you.
Yeah, everything has been positive, especially during my boot episode. I got so much love from all the fans and everything. Some of my tribe mates, it wasn't the same. They was telling me, like, oh, my God, I'm getting so many things like Jen was. But It's been very positive. Like, is the most, you know, the weird thing about the situation is, like, if I come, people like, Darnell, I'm like, yeah, like, how do you know me and everything? I forget. It's like a surreal thing, like, the fans is great. Like, you are some great fans, and I really appreciate it. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Come on down.
Okay.
Matthew.
How would Tony do in a return appearance, hypothetically? What do you all think?
Spence, what do you think? Are you kidding me?
Hey, Rob, can I please have a moment for my Sprodlin edit to talk about how I win in a return?
Sprodlin edit, wow.
I mean, on paper, I think it just doesn't look good. I think he's a guy who lied to everyone, went crazy, his, like, sanity was questionable at times. Like, we were walking down a trail one time, and he told you about this too, right? He was like, he jumped around, turned around, and was like, oh, sorry, I thought there was a monkey chasing
me. Yep.
Like, that happened. And I underestimated Tony at every point in Cagayan. And the first time I met him, I was like, this guy was an alternate for the Jersey Shore who just, like, somehow landed on Survivor. Like, he's loudly saying, like, yeah, we booted Lindsay. She sucks.
Anybody lose car keys? Good.
I always underestimated Tony, and he always still did really well. So I'm not going to count him out. I think he could absolutely supersede my expectations.
I believe it was the great Will Kirby who once spoke about a target so big that it became invisible. Much like a person in a spy shack. Maybe. We're all Team TV. Yeah. Yes. Anything else?
That's it.
All right. Well, this was so much fun to talk through all this stuff. Thank you guys so much. And let's real quick for people to follow you guys. Darnell, you're at King Darnell?
King Darnell 32.
32.
Yes.
Okay.
Me?
Yes.
I mean, at Alexis _ Maxwell.
Okay, the _ Alexis Maxwell. And, of course, at Spencer BGM.
I tweet a lot.
Yeah. All right. Do you guys have an idea for the hashtag? Okay.
Updated records.
Finale door.
Hypothetically.
Well, what is it?
Probe space
quest. Okay, there you go. You have a winner. See, it's so much easier when you have a live audience that you guys just decide what it's going to be. Anyway, but thank you guys so much. I really give it up for this panel one more time. Yeah. Yeah, thank you guys all so much for coming out here. It's so much fun to get through this. And really great questions. You guys really nailed it on the Q&A. All right, so what we're going to do now is let's take a 15-minute like bathroom break, come back around 15 after, and then we will do our RHAP host panel and get to hear from a bunch of the different people that you hear with me on all the different shows, okay? Thanks again, and having so much fun here at RahapCon.